The Rats, written by James Herbert and read by David Rintoul.
Prologue. The old house had been empty for more than a year. It stood, detached and faded, next to a disused canal, away from the road, screened by foliage gone wild. No one went there. Nobody showed much interest anymore. A few windows had been shattered by the neighbourhood kids, but even they lost interest when nothing more than silence responded to the crash of broken glass. In fact, the only interest that had ever been shown by others was on the day they took the old woman away. They knew she'd been living alone since her husband had died, never went out, and was only rarely seen peering from behind lace curtains. She never parted the curtains, just gazed through them, so only a hazy, spectral form could be seen by anyone interested enough to look. Her groceries were delivered every week and left on the back step. Powdered milk was included amongst them. The local grocer said the old woman's bank paid her bills regularly, every 3 months, with never any queries as to the contents of his delivery, which suited him. He'd been given a list at the beginning of a regular order, but if he forgot to include a pound of butter or 2 pounds of sugar now and again, no one noticed. No one complained. Still, he was curious. He used to see her occasionally when her husband was alive, but even then she didn't have much to say. There were a couple of queer old birds, her and her old man, never going out, never having company, but well off, because they'd been abroad for years, and since their return, the husband never seemed to work. Then the old boy had died. The grocer wasn't sure of what, but it had been a recurrence of some tropical disease he'd caught whilst abroad. The old woman was never seen after that, but the grocer had heard her. Nothing much, just the scraping of chairs or a door closing. He'd once heard her shouting at someone, but never discovered who. People had begun to wonder about her. Some heard wailing coming from the house one night, laughter another. Finally, complete silence for over a month. It was only when the grocer found his previous week's delivery still on the doorstep that he reluctantly reported the matter to the police. Reluctantly, because he feared the worst and hated to see a nice little regular order come to an end. Anyway, it turned out she wasn't dead. A policeman was sent to investigate, and then an ambulance arrived and took her away. She wasn't dead, just a lunatic. As far as the grocer was concerned, she might just as well have passed on, because that was the end of his little number. It had been too good to last. So the house was empty. Nobody came. Nobody went. Nobody really bothered. In a year, it was barely visible from the road. The undergrowth was tall, the bushes thick, and the trees hid the upper story. Eventually, people were hardly aware it existed. Chapter 1. Henry Guilfoyle was slowly drinking himself to death. He'd started 6 years ago, at the age of 40. He'd been a successful salesman for a Midland paper company and was ready to become area manager. The trouble was he'd fallen in love late in life, and unfortunately, he'd fallen for one of his junior salesmen. He'd trained young Francis for 5 weeks, taking him on his business journeys up and down the country. At first, he wasn't sure if the boy had the same inclinations as himself, but as he grew to know him, the shyness and the quiet loneliness of his protégé seemed slowly to dissolve that incredible gap he'd always felt with other men. Why Francis had decided to become a salesman, he'd never discovered. He wasn't the type. Guilfoyle could hold his own in the company of any group of men. He could be the typical bluff salesman, the dirty jokes, the sly wink, the back-slapping, the professionalism of his trade hiding any imperfections in his maleness. He was a good actor.